Hey everyone, today's episode is a little bit different. So we decided to do research on one of our favorite chefs and inspiration for really this podcast, Anthony Bourdain. So for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to be reading his life story in a condensed form. So we did a little bit of research, so I hope you guys enjoy. In today's episode of Tips Appreciated, we'll be discussing Anthony Bourdain, his life, his work, and his legacy. To say that Anthony Bourdain was an iconic figure would be an understatement. More than that, though his legacy isn't limited to the industries that he worked in, rather, he inspired people of all ages, of all backgrounds, and from all walks of life. But how exactly did he become this extraordinary larger-than-life man? We wanted to learn more about him and wanted to hear his life story, so we did some research on things that shaped him into the person he is and the legacy he created. Anthony was born on June 25, 1956, in New York City. Raised in a suburban New Jersey, his mother Gladys was a copy editor, while his father Pierre was a music executive. Roles that influenced the young Anthony, who soon developed a love for both literature and rock music. Food played a huge part in Anthony's childhood. He frequented restaurants with his friends and spent summers in France, the country where his grandparents had immigrated from. It was one of these family vacations that kindled his love of food. While on a boating trip, a fisherman made him try an oyster freshly plucked from the sea and brimming with all its natural flavors. The minute the oyster hit his tongue, Anthony was hooked. In 1973, he enrolled in Vassar College, working in seafood restaurants in Provincetown, Massachusetts, to support his studies. It wasn't long before he found himself enjoying his job more than his degree. Soon, he dropped out in his junior year, deciding to pursue the one thing he was really passionate about doing: food. Anthony graduated from the world-renowned The Culinary Institute of America in 1978, going on to run a slew of restaurants in New York City, such as The Supper Club and Sullivan's. His knack for introducing unorthodox yet mouth-watering flavors, as well as his innate charisma, turned him into one of the most respected chefs in the city, and in 1998, he was given the opportunity to lead the Manhattan-based Brasserie Lial as its executive chef. Naturally, he accepted. Later, Anthony would talk about his early years in the culinary industry with a sad, almost bittersweet tone in his voice. Acknowledging his destructive ways, he spoke about his chain smoking and drug abuse with a raw honesty that would eventually end up inspiring thousands, if not millions. His start in journalism came in 1997 when The New Yorker published his article, Don't Eat Before Reading This, wherein he scathingly yet honestly described the inner workings of the city's most popular restaurants, particularly their kitchen. The article went viral, for lack of a better word, and led to other writing projects, including his bestseller, Kitchen Confidential: Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly. Because of these projects, Anthony's name soon began circulating in the fields outside the culinary world. In 2001, he published a cook's tour, Global's Adventure in the Extreme Cuisines, which details his travel across the globe and exotic cuisines that he was able to try. A year later, he debuted on the Food Network with a cook's tour, a series that showed the adventures that he had previously written about. While the show only ran for 2 seasons, it was an instant hit. Thanks to Anthony's sense of adventures, as well as the respect that he held for the cultures and communities that he encountered, audiences couldn't get enough of Anthony, and soon enough, more cookbooks followed. In 2004, Anthony Bourdain's Lial cookbook, Strategies, Recipes, and Techniques of a Classic Bistro Cooking, as well as the 2006, The Nasty Bits, went on to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. In 2005, his Travel Channel series, Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, premiered, Similar to a cook's tour, the show also followed Anthony around the world as he explored the variety of cultures and cuisines. It went on to run for a total of 9 seasons, drawing in millions of viewers and even winning 2 Primetime Emmy Awards. Despite all these exciting adventures and incredible achievements, Anthony's biggest project, and perhaps the one that really turned him into an icon, was yet to come. In 2013, Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown premiered on television and enjoyed worldwide success. Again, Anthony traveled around the globe exploring dining rituals and exotic foods. Once again, it earned a slew of accolades, including 4 Emmys, consecutively winning the Outstanding Informational Series of Special Awards from 2013 to 2015. Parts Unknown followed a similar formula to Anthony's previous shows, bringing to the forefront stories of culture, conflicts, communities, and of course, food. Millions of viewers tune in to follow Anthony as he explored the eccentric mix of places, from the bustling cities of West Virginia to the dynamic streets of Beirut. He showcased everything: fine dining restaurants, world-class establishments, and even humble street vendors with a rickety cart. What made Parts Unknown great and revolutionary was because it focused on the food and the people behind it. Back then, the norm was to highlight the show's host and how they experienced the food. Anthony, though, was a mere storyteller, bringing to light all the phenomenal things that our world has to offer. This was the entire ethos of his show, and it was the biggest reason why so many people were enraptured by it, even if themselves weren't foodies at all. To quote Anthony during a conversation with the journalist Jeremy Rapanish, "You notice on our shows you never ever hear me say, I enjoy the slightly mineral quality of this mouthful with its hint of jasmine and saffron. I don't do that anymore. I say, oh, that's really good. You see what goes into it. What's much more interesting is who's doing it and why and where you are and understanding the society around it. I don't really have to tell you that it's super meaty or quasi-meaty or if it's salty or peppery. I don't want to do it, therefore, why would you want to hear it?" He added, "I don't want to analyze food. I want to experience it in the complete emotional way. I want to remind myself of a happy moment or just be there and be happy with a good bowl of pasta or a hunk of bread." Through Parts Unknown, Anthony reminded us, the viewers, that food wasn't about the price tags that they carried or the celebrity chef who came up with it, nor was it about how many Michelin stars it was awarded or how many magazines it was featured on. Rather, food was about the experience, the emotion one felt as the flavors hit their taste buds. It was about the people and the culture that influenced it. For Anthony, these were the stories about food that mattered. Anthony was a well-renowned and well-respected figure, both within the culinary industry and beyond. Because of this, it's only fair that people endlessly sought his advice on nearly everything, from food and cooking to travel and journalism. But Anthony was more than willing to give them what they wanted. For instance, he encouraged people to constantly strive to go beyond their comfort zones and to be unafraid of facing risks, saying that this was the only way that one could live a fulfilling life. He once said, "Be open to experience. Be willing to try new things. Don't have a rigid plan. Accept random acts of hospitality without judgment or fear. Don't be afraid to wander. Don't be afraid to eat a bad meal. If you don't risk the bad meal, you never get the magical one." He also bade everyone to acknowledge their smallness and their ignorance of the vast humanity of the world. Once, during an episode for Parts Unknown, he reflected, "Maybe that's enlightenment enough to know that there's no final resting place of the mind, no moment of smug clarity. Perhaps wisdom is realizing how small I am and unwise and how far I have yet to go." Naturally, he also had some advice for chefs and aspiring chefs. In an appearance on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, he reminded people that every single morsel on a plate of food has had a story behind it. The history of the world is on your plate. All food is an expression of a long struggle and a long history. This was a poignant call to chefs to remember and respect the stories behind the ingredients they used, as well as the dishes that they whipped up. Anthony's point that every type of cuisine was an emblem of history of those who made it, the product of their triumphs and struggles, and their victories and their tragedies. These sentiments, his deep respect for food and the communities who made them, as well as his call for people to be unafraid in going beyond their comfort zone, are all echoed in his best-selling book, Kitchen Confidential. In it, Anthony writes, "Do we really want to travel in a hermetically sealed Pontmobile through the rural provinces of France, Mexico, and the Far East, eating only in Hard Rock cafes and McDonald's? Or do we want to eat without fear, tearing into the local stew, the humble taqueria's mystery meat, the sincerely offered gift of a lightly grilled fish head? I know what I want. I want it all. I want to try everything once." Perhaps this is the main reason why Anthony was beloved, enamoring, and inspiring nearly everyone he encountered. He was both fearless and curious, two characteristics that led him to seek everything that the world had to offer. As he said, he wanted to experience them all. His uniqueness was his complete willingness to try whatever food and whatever dish he came across, be it from the world-class fine dining establishment in New York City or a street stall in Bangkok. Others attributed to his exploration of a cuisine off the beaten path. Chefs have always highlighted Paris and Hong Kong as the food capitals of the world, but for Anthony, great meals could be found in places like Trinidad, Tanzania, Lagos, Congo, and Borneo, countries that the culinary world was never designed to consider. But there are also those who say his distinctiveness, what made Anthony Bourdain, Anthony Bourdain, was the deep respect that he had of the people behind the dishes that he sampled. Through his work, he sought to emphasize not just the food, but the communities and the cultures. He put a spotlight on their unique stories, regardless of how beautiful or how tragic they were. For him, food wasn't just about the flavors or the ingredients. It was about the stories too. It's safe to say that Anthony was a beloved and inspiring figure. But of course, he also had his rivals, most notably the American chef and TV personality, Guy Fieri. The two couldn't be more different. Anthony was polished, elegant, and poised, whereas Guy was brash and loud, with a penchant for crazy prints and Hawaiian shirts. The two were rivals back when Anthony was still alive, their feud peppered with hilarious soundbites and tons of shade. For instance, Anthony once said, "I'm fascinated by the Guy Fieri Terra Dome they just opened up. 600 seats, something like that. 600 seats and a gift shop, and all these poor diners, drive, whatever, douchebags waddle in there. First of all, he single-handedly turned the neighborhood into an Ed Hardy district, which I'm a little pissed off about." On the other hand, Guy famously quipped, "Anthony, I gotta ask a question. Why do you hate me so much, brother? Is it because you went to a fancy culinary school and I didn't? I hear you're the only one in class who did most of his cooking with a spoon and a Bic lighter." It's safe to assume that Anthony and Guy had the intense hatred of each other. For Anthony, Guy Fieri represented everything that was wrong with the culinary industry, an emphasis on massive portions and deep-fried everything. However, Guy saw Anthony as a pretentious who waxed onto philosophy about the food but never mentions its flavor. The next segment talks about suicide. If you are not comfortable listening to this part, please fast forward ahead. On June 8, 2018, the world woke up to the devastating news that the famed journalist and chef Anthony Bourdain had passed away. He had been traveling around France filming an episode of his award-winning documentary series, Parts Unknown, when a friend found him unresponsive inside his hotel room, dead of an apparent suicide. Minutes after the news broke out, trippies began pouring in from all corners of the globe. Celebrities, chefs, journalists, and ordinary people share their personal experiences about meeting Anthony, reading his book, and watching his shows. Grief-stricken, they spoke about how he inspired them to follow their dreams, no matter how impractical or illogical they seemed. In the short time we had him on our television screen, Anthony Bourdain managed to change our perception of food and the way we eat, showing us that great dishes can come from everywhere and encouraging us to be unafraid of taking risks to seek them out. It's not hard to see why the world continues to mourn him. So that was the story, or brief condensed story of Anthony Bourdain.
Pretty condensed, but very informative, I thought.
I think the most, not shocking, but interesting thing about it for me is that he had a feud with Guy Fieri out of
chef. They both seem so chill, but I guess their approaches were just so different, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, I think... Well, maybe, like, you know, with Anthony, he seemed to have, like, progressed from wanting, you know, his restaurant, I'm sure, mm-hmm. being a chef, to then ultimately thinking that it was more about the people mm-hmm. and the story behind it rather than the food itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The food's just a result of the story, I thought, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think Guy Fieri came from... like a reality TV show, I think, on the Food Network. Like the next
Diners.
No. That's no, like the show that came after him winning the show. I forgot what it was, like the next Food Network star or something like that.
Right.
And
okay.
Then he won, I think, the first season. And then that's where Diners, Dine and
Drive-ins and Dives. Diners, Drive-ins and Dives, I think it was. Yeah. Totally. It's interesting. Like even like his... like his childhood, it's just food was just always around him,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think that was the launch or the experience, I guess it would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always just been around him. So it's like he's just a free spirit. He explored.
Oh yeah,
to who he was, right? So and I think it really showed at like Parts Unknown, which is like my favorite, mm-hmm. right? And that one specific episode on Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I think it's one of the most more famous episodes, I guess it would
be. Oh yeah, because he ate with Barack Obama.
That's right, yeah. And I think they have the table.
Yes, I think they have like a clear case or something where the table and chair. And I think even the utensils they ate at.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty amazing though how a simple visit like that can really put people on the map, mm-hmm. right?
And you know he's good, especially like, you know he's good when my parents even, like, they watched the show as well and they enjoyed him as a person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's just so well known, like even like with celebrities. And I don't know if these celebrities are, you know, foodies or into food or whatever, but I think he's just well known in so many spectrums.
Mm-hmm.
Like just a wide spectrum of fans, I think, which was pretty impressive with his life.
Yeah.
Right. So mm-hmm. yeah, pretty free spirit, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Like I think he just lived his life. Yeah. Was there anything else stand out for you? Like any of his books or anything? Like
Well, I have heard from, like, I know after he passed away, a lot of, like, I follow a bunch of chefs on Instagram
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them did say that his book inspired them to be chefs and they learned so much from just reading a book. Who would know?
Yeah,
you would think it would be like a cookbook or something, but no.
Yeah, well, I think like with it probably resonates with chefs because like to them their food creation, you've seen it so many places, right? It's just about the plating, the story that they want to communicate mm-hmm. on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe that's why he resonates so well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll have to chat with our if we can find any chefs to interview. Maybe we could ask them their inspiration and see if Bourdain comes up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I think he's just different. Like, Chef Ramsay's one of my favorite chefs as well. But just seeing Anthony Bourdain, it's just like different. He's just different.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Like, they're all intense in their ways, mm-hmm. but Bourdain is just like different intense.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe it's more like passionate about people and communities.
Maybe it's it's like, okay, all chefs are intense about food, but I think Anthony Bourdain was like different because it was the people and their culture he wanted to learn more about, which
right.
It's like you get a little bit of that in other TV shows, but not that much. Mm-hmm. They mostly focus on the food, but for right. Anthony, it was more about what was behind the food.
Yeah.
Who was behind it. And like that quote, it's like every morsel on your plate has a story.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think there was the other quote about you can't like experience good food until you tasted bad food or something.
Yeah.
But it's the whole story around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. And I think that's one of the things that we really want to strive for on Tips Appreciated and Knob Trips too, really. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is about the story behind it. And it's not necessarily about the food, mm-hmm. but the journey and the experience, right? Mm-hmm. I think we're going to say this a lot in our stories, mm-hmm. in our podcast, and we've already said it before, but that's so true, right? Is that is the story.
Mm-hmm.
Is you think about like all the, you know, mom and pop shops that have opened, like think about your own neighborhood right now,
mm-hmm.
and all the mom and pop shops around.
Yeah.
Right. Start to think about their stories on why they opened their place.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had a place, and the reason they opened it is they're entrepreneurs, but they also put all of us through school,
mm-hmm.
with it. Right.
Yeah.
And 20 years of owning the shop, put three kids through school and provide us a great life. That's their story, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of a part of their legacy.
Yeah.
So next time you're out, think about that, right? It'd be interesting to see, you know, all the different stores around you, you know, your communities, mm-hmm. right? Your neighborhood, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Like, I know we said that Anthony Bourdain is like one of our inspirations, but for our listeners and viewers, who are your inspirations?
Yeah.
You find like, it doesn't have to be a chef, but it could be someone else that's doing all this stuff, like traveling, like Mikey Chen on YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mark Wiens, yeah, for me.
Exactly.
Right. He travels with his family, but yeah, I would love to hear from you guys, like your local heroes, mm-hmm. you know, the chefs, restaurant owners.
Yeah. And who we should like, who and maybe we could reach out to them and have them tell their story on our podcast.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah, let us know in the comments or throw us a DM or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So I know we usually end the episode with a tip, a nom tip. And I think the main one for this one we can learn from Anthony is don't be afraid to try food from anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have to be like a Michelin star restaurant. It could be a rickety rack, like a he said, in like a dungy street.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that is the truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, good, great food experiences comes from everywhere,
mm-hmm.
and can come from everywhere.
Yeah.
And the only way to discover that is to try new things.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to try new things.
Good one. Okay, well, that's the end of our episode. So remember to like and subscribe and leave a comment below with suggestions. So
yeah, would love to hear from you.
Okay, see you guys.
All right, see ya. Bye.